We shall now turn to 1 Samuel chapter 17, and we could read again verse 45. 1 Samuel 17 and at verse 45. Then said David to the Philistine, "Thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied." How did David win the fight with Goliath? Was it through his courage? Well, he certainly had courage. But courage on its own would not defeat the mighty giant. Was it through his skill in fighting? His skill with the sling and the stone. No doubt he had skill. But that in itself would not defeat the giant. Could the giant not have dodged the stone? Was it a bit of luck, good fortune? No, it certainly was not. Because there is no such thing as luck or fortune. There is only the providence of God, and nothing happens by chance. So what was it then? What made all the difference? How was it that David was able to conquer Goliath? There's one reason. God helped him. That's it, isn't it? God helped him. And if God helps you and me, it's amazing what we can do. We can do wonderful things with God's help. Amazing things. Surprising things. Things that we would never have believed possible with God's help. And without God's help, we can fail even in the simplest of tasks. We need God's help. Faith produces miracles, but it's not faith in itself. Faith is a beggar looking to God. Faith is casting ourselves upon His mercy. Faith is falling at His feet. Faith is grasping hold of God and saying, "I will not let thee go, except thou bless me." We must pray, we must trust, and yet faith itself is a gift from God. All our victories are for Christ's sake. All our achievements, all the good that we ever do is because Jesus died on the cross, and it comes as a result of the efficacy of Christ's death. Because of His sacrifice, we are enabled to do good things and sometimes great things. It's only because of Christ. All the glory must go to God. And we must remember that the Lord Jesus Christ fought a far greater giant than Goliath. He fought the roaring lion. He fought the prince of darkness, the prince of the power of the air. Our Lord Jesus Christ fought Satan himself. And in human flesh, He fought Satan the spirit and overcame. First of all, we have here the doubting Saul. For 40 days, Goliath has been defying the armies of Israel and reproaching Israel and mocking them and mocking Israel's God and calling to them to provide somebody to fight with them. For 40 long days, Goliath is there challenging and mocking and ridiculing and despising Israel. Saul was a great warrior, a big, tall man, but Saul is afraid. Jonathan was a great man of faith. And we know the great victory that he had when he and his armor bearer went and faced a whole army of Philistines on their own. But at this point in time, there's no mention of Jonathan. Why? Well, the Lord didn't give him the faith. Because God had a purpose. And everything that happens, happens with a purpose. And God's purpose was that David the shepherd should become David the king. And part of the way through which David would become king was by him becoming the champion of Israel and overthrowing Goliath. So for 40 days, the Philistine could defy the armies of Israel, and there wasn't one man of faith amongst the Israelites who could go and face him. And then God produces his champion in the fullness of time, and the victory takes place. For thousands of years, Satan was tempting and tormenting and distracting and seducing men and women and holding most of the world in heathen darkness until God produced this champion, the Lord Jesus Christ, who fought with Satan and overthrew him. Saul made great promises in order to act as an incentive to any Israelite man of valor to go and fight with a giant. He promised great riches. He promised that the one who would fight with a giant and overcome him, that he would be given the princess, the king's daughter, to be his wife. What an honor. To give his daughter to this man to be his wife. And he promised the man that his family would be free in Israel, free from taxation. Yet, no volunteers appear. What was the problem? Well, every Israelite in the army was looking to themselves and comparing their small size with the giant's great size. Every Israelite was looking to their weapons, to their skill, to their strength, and thinking how inadequate and impossible it is for me to face this mighty warrior, 9 foot 6 inches tall. Nobody can match the giant. And of course, there is the failure of faith. And then David appears on the scene. And he's brought before Saul. And young David says, "Let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine." Don't let anybody be afraid. Don't let anybody worry. Don't let anybody be troubled. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine. And Saul looks at him and he says, "But you're only a youth. And this man is a warrior from his youth. You're just a young man. And you're so small in comparison. And you're not trained for war. And you don't really have the weapons to overcome this giant." It's ridiculous. How could you possibly do it? And Saul doubts David. The massive giant and little David. But Saul's reasoning is purely earthly. He doesn't seem to realize that, yes, David and himself couldn't possibly overcome the giant, but David with God's help. That's what makes the difference. Doubting Saul. Maybe you're a doubter today. Maybe there's something going to happen today or tomorrow or the next day, and it's worrying you and troubling you, and how can you face it and how can you overcome it? Maybe it's a problem with your health. Maybe you've been told that you're terminally ill. Maybe a loved one is terminally ill. How can you face it? Maybe there's a real challenge at work. Maybe there's some interview that you're going for and you feel so inadequate and ill-prepared for it. Maybe there's some threatening circumstance coming your way. Who can do it? And you're troubled and you're worried. And Jesus says, take no thought for the morrow, but you're full of thoughts for the morrow. And full of worries and anxieties about next week and next month and next year. You look and you see this great giant. How can I possibly overcome the giant? And it's earthly reasoning. Perhaps you're conscious of the great enemy. And you're conscious of how he has led you astray. And how can you overcome him? Remember Peter. Peter saying one minute, Jesus, he says, Lord, I will go with you even unto death. And a little while later, Peter is overwhelmed. There's all these people against Jesus. How can I possibly identify with Jesus? How can I possibly face death, crucifixion with him? And so Peter denies his Lord three times. Are you a doubting Saul? Are you a denying Peter? Are you a doubting Thomas? The doubting Saul. Secondly, notice past experiences. We are to learn from everything that we go through in life. And God brings into our lives various experiences for a purpose. So we read in Romans 5, glory in tribulation, because tribulation works patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. Glory in, rejoice in tribulations, because God puts them in your life, and he places them there with a purpose, and nothing happens by chance, and it's not bad luck that it's taken place. It's God's loving purpose building you up, to build you up in patience and perseverance and experience and triedness, so that you will be able to stand firm and steadfast. And the more experiences that you have in life, the stronger you will become to face new challenges in the future. It was like that with David. Why did God send a lion to steal one of David's lambs? Why did he send a bear to go away with one of his sheep? It was part of the training. And you can think of the panic that you might have in seeing a lion coming to take away a lamb. And yet, it was necessary for David to face these trials in order to prepare him for the far greater trial. Who are you, David? You're just a youth. And here's a man who is a warrior from his youth. But notice what David says in verse 34. Thy servant kept his father's sheep,
And there came a lion and a bear and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went out after him and I smote him and I delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard and smote him and slew him. And thy servant slew both the lion and the bear. And this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God. When the lion came and stole one of his lambs, David wasn't like the hireling in John chapter 10. The hireling who looks after his own skin. He was concerned to keep the sheep of his father that he had been entrusted with. He didn't want to lose any of them. He was concerned for the sheep, loved the sheep, cared for them, and wasn't going to allow a wild animal to go away with one of his lions. He was prepared to put his life on the line. Was it foolhardy for David to go and fight the lion? Well, possibly you think that it was. And no doubt many of us would say yes. David's father would far rather lose a lamb than lose his son. But God was at work in it all. God was building up this young man's character, was preparing him to be the great king, just as he prepared his own son to be the one to conquer Satan. No, he wasn't a hireling, and he was not going to be intimidated by a lion. So he went out and he smote the lion. And the lion dropped the lamb and turned on him. And he caught it by its beard. And he smote it and he slew it. And the same when the bear came. And the great grizzly bear came along and grabbed one of his lambs. And again, he smote it and he slew it. And so what does he say? The Lord that delivered me, verse 37, out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. Great words, aren't they? The Lord who delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the paw of this great carcass of an uncircumcised Philistine. Whoever the army, whoever the enemies of the Lord are, whatever great armies will come against us, by the grace of God and through the strength of His Holy Spirit, we will overcome. They took him by his beard and smote him and slew him. Was it David's athletic prowess? Was it his great agility? Was it his speed and his skill in fighting? No. That's not what enabled him to overcome the lion and the bear. It's that God was with him and God helped him. And the lion was helpless to harm David. And the bear was powerless to destroy David. And similarly, David could build on that experience and could say, I went through trials in the past. God took me through. I faced great difficulties in days gone by. I overcame them. And the God who enabled me to overcome in the past, will He not enable me to overcome in the future? Will He not strengthen me tomorrow as He strengthened me yesterday? Is He not the unchanging God? I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. Past experiences. Build on your past experiences. And so face the future. Thirdly, useless weapons. Saul says to him, "Go then, and the Lord be with thee." And Saul takes his armor, the best armor that was to be found in Israel, puts the helmet on his head, puts the coat, the coat of mail upon him, gives him the shield and the sword. But David cannot go with these. He feels so uncomfortable. He's never used them before. And he cannot trust in them. He's not going to trust in human weapons. And he's not going to go and face the giant and people be able to say, "Oh, it was the armor that he had that gave him the advantage." And horse for preservation is a deceitful thing. And by the greatness of his power can no deliverance bring. Some trust in horses and some in chariots, but we will trust in the Lord our God. So David puts off the armor, useless weapons. And what does he take instead? He takes a staff, a stick in his hand. I must have been looking very strange. Going to face this mighty giant with a stick in his hand and a sling. But the battle is the Lord's. Gideon blew the trumpet. 32,000 Israelites came out to fight with him. And God said, "That's too many." It had to be whittled down to 300 so that it could be seen that the battle was the Lord's. Not to trust in the number of our soldiers, not to trust in the armor that we have, but to trust in the name of the Lord. And so all the world must see that it's God's work and not David's work. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but spiritual, mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. We think of our Lord Jesus Christ. What weapons did he use in fighting with Satan? He didn't have any armor on. He didn't have any clothes on even. He didn't have a sword in his hand. There he was, naked upon the tree. So weak and so vulnerable. But through death, he destroyed him that had the power of death. That is the devil. Fourthly, the ridicule of the world. Christ was mocked on the cross. He was laughed at to scorn. "Come down from the cross and we will believe in you. You who destroyed the temple and built, and you said you could destroy the temple and build it in 3 days. Come down from the cross and we'll believe in you." He trusted in God that he would deliver him. "Let him deliver him now, sith he had in him such delight." They mocked him. They laughed him to scorn. But when he was reviled, he reviled not again. When he was mocked, he took it. And here's young David going out to face the giant with a stick in his hand. And the giant looks at him. And he says, "Am I a dog that you come out to meet me with a stick? Am I a dog?" He mocks David. And he says to David, "Come, and I will give your flesh to the birds of the air and to the beasts of the field." He makes fun of David. David with the ruddy face, the fair countenance, the pretty young fellow, as it were. The Philistine cursed David by his gods. "Come, and I will give thy flesh to the fowls of the air and to the beasts of the field." ridiculed, mocked, laughed at. Think of the Philistine army. And they're looking on and they're so confident in their great champion marching forward to meet the Israelites. And then they see this young lad coming with a stick in his hand. What's going on? Has this boy got learning difficulties? How can this boy come and face our great champion, covered with his helmet of brass and his great coat of mail and target of brass and greaves of brass upon his legs, and his great spear and his great sword and his armor bearer running in front of him with his shield, and this young lad with a stick going to meet him? It seemed so ridiculous. You could imagine them laughing and mocking and ridiculing, and the Israelite army looking on apprehensively in their unbelief. What has this poor boy let himself in for? We've been hearing a lot about the World Cup these days. What a strange contest it would be if the Knightswood Primary School football team were to go and try and overcome the Brazil football team. Would it not be a very unequal contest? These great champions of football, and then some young lads going to try and take them on. What would you expect but disaster? The ridicule of the world. Maybe you felt the ridicule of the world too. There have been times when people have laughed at me and mocked me and ridiculed me. And I'm sure it's happened to you too for your religion. But don't worry. Be strong and of good courage. If only these people could see where the strength really lies. It's not in man whose breath is in his nostrils, but our strength is in the living and true God. The God who is almighty. Fifthly, we have here a spiritual conflict. And it's so important to remember that it was a spiritual conflict. Goliath trusts in his gods, and he curses David by his gods. Notice David's response though. Verse 45. Thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee and take thine head from thee, and I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. Wonderful words, aren't they? Brilliant. So strong. So powerful. Powerful not in human terms, but in rather in spiritual terms. You come to me with a sword and a spear and a coat of mail and an armor bearer running before you. I come with the Lord on my side. And I will take you. And I will cut off your head. David was a prophet. I will cut off your head. And I will give the carcasses of the Philistines, not just of you, but of all the Philistines, I will give them to the crows who will eat out their eyes, to the foxes who will tear their flesh apart. And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not by sword nor by spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. It's a spiritual conflict. The uncircumcised Philistine, trusting in his gods, and young David, trusting in the living and true God. The battle is the Lord's. And we think of David's greatest son coming to the cross of Calvary. This is your hour and the power of darkness, crying in agony, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And yet also crying, it is finished. It is completed. It is done. I have saved my people. I have defeated Satan. I have earned my bride. And heaven will be my reward and theirs. So finally we come to the deadly blow. The Philistine Goliath marches forward, and you can see him with his heavy feet marching forward, covered in this great coat of mail. Nine and a half feet tall, but he's not tall and skinny. He's built like a tank, and he's covered with armor plated as it were. And he's moving forward with determination. And young David, what's he doing? As he draws near and as he comes nearer to the Philistine, and he sees the mighty giant, does he turn and run away? That's what the Philistines were expecting. And that's what the Israelites were fearing. But no, David runs forward, gaining further enthusiasm and zeal, puts his hand into his pocket, and takes out a stone, not a tiny little pebble, but you can imagine a big stone, puts it into a sling, and away he fires that sling, and you can hear the stone whistling through the air. Andy Murray, he can serve at 130 miles an hour. You can imagine the stone going at 150 miles an hour towards the Philistine. But it wasn't David's prowess with his stone and the sling that conquered the Philistine. It was God guiding that stone, and God's force going behind it, and God directing it to the one place where the giant had no armor. It strikes him on the forehead and sinks in through his skull, stunning the giant so that he falls on his face to the ground before the armies of Israel and before the Lord's anointed David. And David runs and stands upon the giant. He stands upon this great mass of flesh and armor. And then he draws out the giant's sword. And then he starts to cut through that huge neck and chop his way through it. Picks up that head, that ugly head of the giant, and holds it up before the army of Israel and before the army of the Philistines. Where's the armor bearer? He's run for his life. He could see that the Lord was on the side of David. And when the Philistines saw what happened, what did they do? There were plenty of Philistines. They could still fight. But no, they've lost all will to fight. They can see that God is with the armies of Israel. It is the Lord's victory. It is God that did it and wondrous in our eyes. And they all turned and fled for their lives. And the Israelites pursued them. And David returns carrying the bleeding head of the mighty Philistine in his hand. The victory is the Lord's. It's God's work. The enemy is destroyed. The Philistines, the army of the enemy, has been conquered. And we see our Lord Jesus Christ ascending up on high, leading captivity captive, the devil, as it were, chained to his chariot wheels. He has triumphed wondrously. He has had victory over the powers of darkness. And he has delivered men and women from the kingdom of Satan and brought them into his own kingdom. And all power in heaven and in earth now belongs to Christ. What side are you on tonight? Are you on Goliath's side? Are you on the Philistine side? Are you on the devil's side? Or are you on the Lord's side? Remember, those who are on the Lord's side will be victorious. But don't pretend to be a follower of the Lord. Be a real follower, a committed soldier of Christ, a fearless, fervent man or woman of God, a man and woman of faith. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Go forward in His strength. We are more than conquerors through Him who loved us.